Blog Talk Radio.
You have tuned in to another episode of Paranormal Horizons with your hosts, Jason Ophir, psychic medium Sherry, Joe Pinohu, and Joel Walling. Stay tuned as we enter into the world of the paranormal, but also step outside the box a bit and discuss current events. Great conversation among friends.
Welcome, everybody. This is Psychic Medium Sherry. It's been a while. I'm one of the original co-hosts with Jason Ophir, and Jason's gone tonight. He wanted to take a break, so I'm filling in. And my other co-host that's on our team, Joe Walling, he is or was from British Columbia Paranormal Team and Night Stalkers. I don't know. Anyway, he'll be coming on in a few minutes. But I want to introduce a friend of ours, and he has been a paranormal researcher for 18 years. And I heard from the grapevine he just got his doctorate degree. So Michael, I'm going to bring on Michael Smith. Hi, Michael.
Hi, how you doing?
Hey, pretty good. How are you?
I'm all right. Just staying
busy
doing research stuff. You know how it is.
Yeah. Congratulations on your doctorate degree. I heard from Joel that you just finished. And what did you get your doctorate in?
I have a doctorate in metaphysical humanistic science with a specialization in parapsychology.
Oh, wow, that's awesome. My goodness. So, Michael, how you been? What have you been up to?
Well, not too much. I was kind of sick back in the fall in the hospital for a while, and I'm doing really good now, though. So, yeah, every day I'm getting a little better, and I feel better, so I'm doing pretty good.
Good, of course.
The weather's been kind of bad. Been kind of cold and rainy, and you know. But otherwise, just hanging out and trying to keep the podcast going and doing the research and you know, just stuff like that.
That's excellent. Hey, we're going to bring on our other co-host, Joel. Hey, Joel, I got you on. Are you plugged in?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay.
I don't know anybody on the show.
Yeah. So, Jason said he'll be back next week, so we're going to be covering for him. But we do have a caller, and this tonight we're supposed to have we go back. I've been on radio for almost 5.5 years with Paranormal Horizons, and Jason was there for probably 1.5 years, maybe 2 years at the very most. And we've had Paul Coffey. Paul Coffey has been on radio for with Paranormal Horizons as a guest off and on probably a few times since way before I started, like I said, 5.5 years ago. And I do believe that he's coming on. So I'm going to bring a caller. Maybe it might be who knows, it might be a scammer. I don't know, but hopefully we'll have somebody that's, I'll just pull this person through.
Sherry, I'm on. Paul's here.
Okay. Well, hey, welcome to Paranormal Horizons, Paul. How are you?
Thank you. I'm doing very fine.
Good, good. It's been a long time. It's been, what, how long is it? 2-3 years at least?
Oh, I'd say 2 years at least, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, a lot of changes have come on. I mean, I don't know if you had, I know it was Jason and I, and then we had Maria. I took a six-month sabbatical, And I was on tour pretty heavily for a year and a half, and then we had the COVID, and then Maria backed out, and then we brought two new co-hosts, Joel Walling, and he's been on our team, and he's been a guest for about 3 years, and we also have Joe Panohu from Hawaiian Hauntings that fills in with us, too. So, yeah. So what have you up to? What else have you been up to? Are you still doing paranormal investigations and exorcisms and things like that?
Well, I haven't done any paranormal investigating because of the COVID-19 coronavirus. And the last one was at the Espera 2 mission down south of San Antonio, and I captured a ghost. I captured two ghosts on camera, and they're plain and clear, and they can be seen on my paranormal site, my Facebook page, at Central Texas Paranormal. And for those that want to see ghosts, you can go to that page. I have many on there. I have videos. I have still shots, and some are black and white. Some are in full spectrum. They kind of look red, but you can see what's going on. And I have 25 pictures of ghosts, 25 pictures of ghosts that I have on there. And one of them is a shot of Linda. I call her Linda. She didn't talk to me. But she was at the Waverly Hills Sanatorium where I investigated twice. And the second time I captured Blackie. He's up there too on my Central Texas Paranormal page on Facebook. And there's many more. And the mission investigation is up there, and there's two ghosts that I've shown. And the one in particular that is one of my top ghosts is a guy named David. And there was a Philip also, but I didn't get a picture of him. I spoke to both of them with a pendulum, and then I spoke to them off and on with my voice. And I could barely hear them, but I heard them. And basically, I have that photo on Facebook as well, Central Texas Paranormal, like I said before. So basically, tonight I'm going to be talking about the paranormal. Is that okay?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes. So you
okay.
use a pendulum.
And you don't
so
want...
What does that do? I mean, supposed to go and communicate with them when you use the pendulum?
Yes. There's seven chakras that we have. The crown chakra, the third eye, the throat chakra, the heart chakra, the sacral, and then the root chakra. And the sacral is your stomach. Your heart is your heart, and, you know, so forth and so on. And it's best to clear yourself first using God's brilliant white light. And I do that. I pray to God each and every time. I've done this thousands of times, clearing ghosts, you know, and I do that non-professionally. I do it out of the love of God and first, and then the love of sending dead people up into God's light, God's golden
mm-hmm.
staircase. And I've seen it before several times, the golden staircase, probably at least three or four times. And there are angels. I shut my eyes and I can see them. They're real angels, and they kiss me. And where I go is the grotto off of Blanco Road and the Oblates Street. And it's a big complex, and they teach priests how to become priests, and they have a church there, and they have a church for the priests to have, you know, Sunday sessions and during the week as well. It's a beautiful place, and they have gift shops there too, and I go to one, the main one, and they have beautiful painting, you know, prints of holy scenes and everything else, and statues, and that you can put in your garden, and medals. And I bought myself a beautiful medal for like $36 with
mm-hmm.
tax, and it was gold plated. So I wear that. It was blessed by me, But I have it blessed by my exorcism priest, who I work with, Father Ruben Lopez, and he's up in Fort Worth, Texas. And he does exorcisms. I don't. Huh?
You spoke of him a long time ago. I remember that.
I did. Yeah, I did.
Mm-hmm.
And
I remember you were doing for a long while, doing exorcisms yourself, where you were sending that part over to the other side, the dark side over to the other side.
Yeah, I don't do exorcisms. When I need an exorcism done, I contact Father Ruben Lopez, and he either goes there or he does it over the phone. And he does a lot of them over the phone.
So what were you doing for a while? Weren't you doing some type of exorcism or chasing them away or something like that? And you were, you know, speaking
no.
to their dark side and crossing them over or anything like that?
I kill demons. And I do that with my energy. My aura energy. Yeah, I slice them and kill them and I burn them. I learned to do this over time, and anybody can do it. But they have to be trained.
Wow.
And,
what type of training is it? Yeah, just curious.
Training? I don't know. I can't. Well, what I can say is I learned how to do it. And if there was anybody that would want to know how to do it, it would be better if they came here and I would show them how it's done. I have angels here that surround me. I have 17 angels, and every day I have 17 angels, sometimes less. And there's such a thing as a skeleton crew, and there was like 14 people at Thanksgiving, but at Christmas time there was only 9. And I have them in 2 rooms, and they say that they're protecting me, but what I got out of them is if I fall or if I die, They send 2 angels up to heaven immediately, and they know how to do it. And they're in my bedroom, and I have 3 crosses there. I have a Holy Family cross, which is the best one, and I have a what they call a diabolical coin, which is Saint Benedictine cross, and then I have. They call it a Jesus Christ cross, but I call it the cross of Jesus Christ. And I do so because the demons say that, and they specifically say that. They want, believe it or not, they want people, and I've seen this done. Father Ruben Lopez has told me he was out in Gonzales, Texas. He had a case. The person was already dead, and his parents requested that Father Ruben go in and do an exorcism of the house, and there were demons in there. And there were deep, dark demons, and I call them string demons because they have strings. And I have photographs, 2 photographs on Central Texas Paranormal. You may have to page down a lot to get to it, but you'll get to it. It's a cell phone shot that my client, one of my clients in Pennsylvania, Brookhaven, I won't mention their names, but it's a husband and wife. And they got pets. They got pets and such. They have a parakeet. They have a dog. And the demons would pester them and lay on them. And the bird, I don't know what they did to the bird, but the bird got sick, and I got concerned. And I brought down God's light remotely by having the address. And they live in Brookhaven, Pennsylvania. And I knew where to send God's light. And God does it himself. And every time I bring it down, God has done this for me. I'm very grateful to him, and I prayed to him, thanking him. I thanked him just 3 days ago, back Thursday. And so basically what happened is he found a cross turned upside down with the head of it broken off. And that's what demons want you to do. And they keep saying this to the person to make them do it, and they punish the person if they don't do it. And it could be a male or a female, and children are involved. And I know a lot about demons, and because I started an investigation called Change Up, And when I sneezed, the demons knew, and they were the first to say this, and change up. I said, yeah, it's a change up. And I didn't know anything about it, you know, but eventually it became my investigation change up. And I had two investigations, and it lasted 2.5 years. And overall, it's been 5 years now that I've had demons in my house. I still have them.
You haven't
no
been able
longer
to get rid
talk.
Of those, even with your ability, you haven't been able to get rid of that.
No, they still come.
Now, I also wanted to bring up another point you had made when you were talking about the upside-down cross. So they basically want you to turn this into a St. Peter's cross?
No, they want you to break the head off first, snap it off, or take a saw, if it's wood, and cut it off. And turn the cross upside down to desecrate Jesus Christ himself. And what they call
Jesus Christ, not just a cross.
The crucifix,
so
yeah.
It needs to have the, okay. Because I was looking at, because you know, the upside down cross, actually, that has all been done in Hollywood.
Yeah.
And has been made that into the demonization of the cross.
Well,
because actually the St. Peter's cross is revered as one of the most kind of sacred representations, where he didn't even feel like he was worthy in dying in the same way that Christ killed him.
So basically, they want you to do that, and you could be a child, you know, old enough to do it. They know everything, and they're able to read your mind, too. They call it scrubbing. And they put their hand over you, and momentarily they get all the information you have, and it downloads into the demons, the string demons. And when you have one demon, you have a legion of demons, or legions of demons, many legions of demons, because they're small. You can't see them. With a cell phone, you can. You have to take a picture and then blow it up. I have editing software. It's called Ben Vista. It's available at benvista.com, and they're from England, and it costs like $65. $65.99, I think it costs. It's pretty reasonable. And you can edit, you can crop, you can blow it up to 100%, and it's real easy to use. It's very handy for me. I've used it all these years, and I've upgraded it, and but there's one upgrade I haven't got yet, $65, and it's cheaper than buying the whole kit and caboodle. But anyways, that's the one I use, and I use Digital Dowsing, who makes the Ovalis. I have an Ovalis 10 that I use, and it works perfectly. And ultimately, you go to their website and go to accessories, downloads, and you go to downloads, and you'll download, I forget the name of it now. I won't get it. But there's a download. It's an editor. And basically you download that, and you can lighten photographs. And the secret about paranormal investigating is people take shots, and they use flashes, and they have infrared full-spectrum cameras. I have one. It's a Fuji. It's a 14 megapixel. It's older, but it works fine. And they're red. You know, they come out red. But you can... use grayscale. You just press on it. It's a little dialog box, and it changes the photograph to grayscale. It brings it out finer, and you can see things a lot clearer. Then you go to luminance, and you press on that, say, 3 to 4 times. And if it's too light, then you back it up. You just, you know, go back, and there's a button for that you can just delete. You know, one copy. So I use that, and I take pitch black pictures, no flash, in the darkness, and there's light surrounding. You know, like paranormal lights that we use. You know, but it's pretty dark, and I lighten them up, and lo and behold, there's ghosts. And
yeah,
one of them
no,
that
oh,
I did that.
I'm good.
I'll give you
I'm
a
sorry,
little bit of a background on myself. I'm actually Microsoft certified computer tech, and that's how I got into the paranormal field. Is I actually was working on a research group's computers. I was their tech person.
Right.
I also developed new technology for them. It's what I even do now. Me and Michael are we don't really call ourselves investigators because we don't really investigate a lot. We are researchers.
Yeah.
I'm constantly working on new theories and new technologies. And, you know, just out of my experience, my almost 20 years, I'm going to tell you, when you go into editing pictures like that, you're creating a lot of pareidolia. And, I mean, I'm just, you know, speaking from past experiences, looking at some of them on your Facebook page, as you mentioned, a lot of those are so blurred out that could be Elvis and Bigfoot playing catch, and you wouldn't really be able to tell. Because of how much heavy editing is done, and especially when you're taking a solid black picture or a extraordinarily dark picture and trying to pull it out, you're adding light where there's not really any light there. So you're actually causing the pixels to create something. And as you know from, I'm sure, you know, your brain creates things. Your brain is made to recognize shapes and different signs. So that's where when you edit heavily, that's where you build in to finding a lot of things. I mean, I used to have groups sending me picture after picture and audio file after audio file, and it's like, I need originals because it's not anything that you're doing intentionally.
Right.
When you, like I said, when you go into that heavy editing, that's when you're causing the pixels to do something that they were not originally doing.
Yeah.
And especially if we're dealing with something extraordinarily dark, making it light.
Yeah.
Now, there is a fine line you can walk and edit, but it is very fine before you do create.
Yeah, well, when I edit, I don't heavily edit it. It's very lightly done. And basically, I wouldn't put up anything that's not paranormal. It has to be a ghost. And I have 25 ghosts that I have that I've captured this way.
I'm sorry. I just had I didn't know when to jump in. I thought I'd just take a shot. I know that you said that you work with a priest that does the exorcisms and that kind of thing. I'm assuming that if you, COVID notwithstanding, because COVID messed up everything as far as doing investigations right now. But if you went on an investigation and you had, and you thought you might be in need of him, that you would contact him and have him do whatever it is he does. I've noticed an alarming trend in what I call the demon of the week. Because a lot of these TV shows, they find demonic activity everywhere. You know what I mean? Like, and I'm not going to name names of these shows, but you know, the ones that are on TV every week, and every episode is about the same. They always go somewhere, and they always insinuate that there's demonic activity. You know? Now, I know that demonic hauntings are traditionally thought of as the most rare of the types of haunting activity. And I don't know how many cases that you run across, you know, number wise, but I wonder, you know, because there are so many things. And I wonder what I'm trying to think how to put this to not sound confrontational, but I'm not. How do you differentiate between someone who is, say, in a dissociative disorder like a split personality, or someone who's schizophrenic? You know, I mean, because all those things can mimic the signs of the classical signs of possession. So how do you go about differentiating that to a degree enough to know when to get a priest and when to refer someone, say, for counseling or for
right.
medical intervention or even
right.
epilepsy.
Here's
some form of epilepsy to mimic.
Here's what we do. If a person gets stung or burned by a, it's not a ghost. Ghosts do not move things, you know, like keys. You know, you heard stories, my keys were moved. People forget. By no means do they move. They don't have the power. Angels can't even do it. Demons can't do it.
People can. People can do it.
People can. And they forget. And people, other people in the household move their keys around and hide them even. And just to play a game. And but, you know, I have people telling me my keys are missing and I can't get into my car. What do I do? And, you know, I immediately call Father Ruben Lopez to schedule an exorcism. And he goes there or he does it remotely. You know, and sting or burn is what they say. And there's another word. I can't get it right now. But
I'm sorry. I don't want to come off sounding confrontational, but that can't be the only criteria for calling for an exorcism. Because
well,
I would think that performing an exorcism on someone, A, that actually wasn't possessed and was mentally ill, would cause them a huge amount of psychological damage.
Right. Well, let me tell you, we do a screening before we go anywhere. And, you know, to have an exorcism, it takes some days, sometimes it's pretty quick. If it's an extreme case, it can be done within 2 weeks' time. But there's a matter of time. Now, I recommend Father Ruben Lopez because, and he's out of Fort Worth, he's on Facebook, Ruben Lopez, and he has like a Sasquatch Bigfoot photograph. So you know what I'm talking about. And he's readily found at Ruben Lopez on Facebook. And but what I'm telling you is there's a cooling off period. Father Ruben contacts these people every day, and he makes the evaluation. I don't. I make a screening, and I can tell if they're mental or not. They have mental problems or not, drug problems. I could tell, you know, if they're slurring their words or whatever, alcohol, whatever. I've never had a case that it wasn't demon related. It was always demon related, and that's a promise. I've had.
I'm sorry. How many cases have you done?
I've done close to 100 cases in the past 5 years. And a lot of them, I refer to Father Ruben Lopez. I work with him, you know, and we go over cases together, you know, his cases, my cases. And I send him my cases because he is the exorcism priest here. And so that's what I do. And there is a criteria. He screens them to make sure they're not having mental issues. And if they are having mental issues, he'll speak with a parent or their husband or their wife to make sure that they're sane, or if they have mental problems, then he knows what he's getting into. But just about every case that I've handed to him, he's worked every one of them, and he basically does this night and day. He'll stay on the phone. Anytime you want to call him, he'll pick the phone up. And if you get his recording, you leave a message, and he'll get back to you. But that's what I do.
Okay. I'm just trying to formulate my next question. Well, Father Lopez, is he not that I have any leaning toward one religion over another? I'm just asking for my own question. Is he a Catholic exorcist or?
Yeah, he's a Catholic priest trained at the Vatican.
At the Vatican, okay.
Yeah.
He
belongs to the Sacred Order of Jerusalem. It's a small team of priests that are from all around the world, and there's 15 priests only that they go there once a year to the Vatican for a meeting for 3 days. And the church pays for it. He belongs to the Holy Family Church of Fort Worth. So, basically, what I've told you is all true.
Oh, I'm not accusing you a lot. I'm just trying to, you know, trying to get my back straight so I know what to, you know, so I know
yeah.
what to ask.
Right.
You know, because I'm not familiar with it, but I wanted to kind of get some background.
Yeah. Well, he can be reached on Facebook, like I say, at Father Ruben Lopez. I mean, at Ruben Lopez. R-U-B-E-Z space Lopez, L-O-P-E-Z. That's his Facebook page, and you can contact him through that if you have any questions. He'll gladly answer them for you. He's a full exorcism priest, a Catholic priest. He works out of the Holy Family Church of Fort Worth, Texas.
Hey, Paul, if he's an exorcist, what do you do in your dealings when you've dealt with the other stuff, casting out the D stuff? You know, are you working with him in the same case, or is this just two separate things? I don't understand.
He has his cases. You know, he receives phone calls. His name is pretty widespread, and he gets a lot of calls. He's up till the wee hours of the morning, and I call him at 10:20 in the morning because that gives him time to wake up, take a shower, fix his bed, you know, get cleaned up, and have coffee and eat his breakfast. And by 10:20, I normally call him at 10:20. I've done this right along for all 5 years. So, his cases, he has his own cases, and he discusses them with me. He sends me photographs to look at to confirm whether it's demonic or not. And I send him pictures as well, even on cases that he doesn't work, but most of them he does. So we share cases, and but I'm not a Catholic. I am Catholic. I'm a Roman Catholic, but I'm not a priest. I'm not an exorcism priest, and basically I belong to St. Helena's Church here in San Antonio. I'm from San Antonio, originally from Tewksbury, Massachusetts, is where I lived most of my life. Basically, that's it. Any other questions?
Probably.
Well, you know, just dealing with... What do you follow, or what are your procedures with, say, to quote my friend Star, you don't become a better person just because you die. So what is it you do with, since you're dealing with mainly demonic, what are you differentiating between demonic and negative? Is there different things that you need to do when dealing with just a negative entity rather than in the demonic realm?
Yes, I'll tell you exactly what to do. The demons, when they were fully charged up, now, they can still sting and burn, and they don't talk anymore. Here they don't. They haven't for about 4 weeks. And I beat them down to that extent where they're not talking, using my energy, my aura energy. And the way... to prevent, you know, there's such a thing as ball demon, and it's a broken line, and it passes around, and you think it's an orb, and it looks like an orb, and it's shiny, and it's black, and in the center is the broken line. It's like a spider web, and, you know, and it lights up, and it's white. The energy, the negative energy, it's pure negative energy in its purest form, and it will burn you. And that's the big problem with demons, other than talking, over-talking you. And something called holding hands, I penned it, and the demons use penned just to say who actually is responsible for the word. And so I determined it, you know, and I produced it, and I called it, like I said. And you take a shower, and I was taking them twice a day because the negative energy gets on you, and you can feel it when they circle around you and they're on you, and they stay about 6 inches off of you to a foot, and there's always one, and basically they stand off onto your left shoulder. They're there all day talking, friendly, and then they jump down eventually, and they sting you, you know, by jumping down from your left leg to your right leg to your left ankle. And it's always the left ankle, and eventually it became the right ankle, and they would burn me. And there is such a thing called roll of quarters, they call it. And, you know, like a roll of 25-cent pieces, you know, a roll of quarters, and the ones you get out of the bank. And they call that because when they burn you, it's like a bunch of coils. And it's only one demon doing this, but they're attached to legions of demons, and that's where they get all the energy to spark on you, what they call it. Spark, burn, sting.
How do you differentiate between a non-human and
demons do not
human,
have a soul.
A human negative, an ordinary person that was just an asshole. You know, he was an asshole when
demons,
he was alive. He was an asshole when he died. How do you differentiate
demons,
between the two of those?
Demons were never incarnated on Earth. How they formed, I have no clue. But they have some substance, and I used to call it carbon. And ultimately, all they are is a gas. They're a gas. It's a negative energy gas, and that gives them the energy. And ultimately, they sting you and burn you, and another thing, you know. And the best way to prevent it is to put Palo Santo on your head and your legs and your hand. Palo Santo essential oil. Get it on Amazon. And it's pretty reasonable. You get a bottle for $14. And I bought many bottles of Palo Santo oil. And ultimately, it works. It's the one thing that does work. It smells like an orangey pine smell. And it's perfectly safe to use. Massage
people
use
it. What do
you
do with
it?
You put
it on
your
hair.
Head
no, you gotta
put
some
on
your fingers,
bottom?
And yeah, you gotta put up with the smell. It's pretty strong when you go to bed, and during the day you put it on too. The demons will stay away from you. They dread it because they feel the smell will build into their minds and into their bodies, and they don't like it. It's the most powerful oil you can get that works. It worked for me.
No.
It works for my clients.
The cases that you work, I'm assuming you do mostly residential. Is that right?
I do residential. My investigations can be on a aircraft carrier or commercial businesses. You name it. I go anywhere where I need to investigate.
Of all those, what
houses.
Percentage of those are not demonic?
Well, my investigations, I've only had one case where it was demonic. And my first investigation was in Germany when I was in the Army, 1981. And I saw a full-bodied apparition in my bedroom. And I'm not going to get into the story how I've already told it to Jason Opia. So I'm not going to get into the whole story, but I told the full body apparition. I said, "You mess with me, and I'll mess with you. Don't bother me, you know, and I won't bother you." And he never did, but it was a man, And I found out later that he died in an aircraft crash of a CH-47 Chinook, which I worked on as an aircraft electrician. And he was an engine man. He stood next to me in formation. And ultimately, he died in the helicopter. And I got that helicopter throughout the night with two dead bodies at my feet. And I ended up with PTSD after that. And I'm 100% disabled vet now and have been since 2008. So that's I'm retired, you know, military retired. I served 11.5 years. I served 11.5 years, some in the reserve and some. I did one tour in Schwäbisch Hall, West Germany, at the time. So basically, my first investigation was there, and when I got out of, you know, I worked for a phone company for 22 years, and I got retired by the VA full benefits. So I decided to go into paranormal investigation back in 2010. So 11 years now? And what happened is that I started doing investigations with a man called John Delgado. And he's a sweet man and very professional with what he does. So I investigated with him, and I also investigated with another group, which is a pretty serious group, mainly of women and men, Texas Ghostly Gatherings. The woman is up in North Dallas. I forget the name of the town she lives in, but she's on Facebook as well. On Facebook at Annette Laverno King is her Facebook. Annette Laverno King is her Facebook page. And, you know, you can look that up if you wish. She has, I don't think she has any ghosts in there, but they talk about their investigations and so on. But I did many investigations with her, and I did a place called The Cave Without a Name. And I captured my second ghost. My first one was on the USS Lexington aircraft carrier, retired. And I have a full-bodied apparition walking into a wall, disappearing. And I got that on video, and that's readily available on my Facebook page at CentralTexasParanormal.com, and other videos as well. So one of my best ones is what I call John's Rent House. John Delgado had a rent house, and he used to live in it. He had problems, so he brought me in. He thought it was demonic, and it probably was. Probably was demonic, but when I got there, there were no demons in the house. It was cleared out because everybody was out of it. Demons don't stick around when there's nobody there, nobody to hold hands with and talk. So they move on. And he had a demon there, and legions of demons, and all that was in there was like 11 ghosts. And I saw the orbs. I have videos of that. That's readily available on my Facebook page. And I captured a full-bodied apparition of David. I mean, Bruce. His name is Bruce. And there was Philip. I didn't get a picture of him. But it's a perfect full-bodied apparition. You can see his face pretty clearly, his chest and stomach. And it's a pretty good shot. And so, anyways, I've done many investigations, and I can go on about them. Any other questions?
I'm thinking, Joe, you got anything?
Oh.
Hold on. Yeah, sir. Go on in.
So I have a question.
Sherry.
If you're
no questions.
Let me ask, do you have your guy, you know, your reverend to do the exorcism, so when you cast out the demons and stuff like that, so doesn't an exorcist do that? They can, are they capable of doing that too?
People can do that. They have to be trained, you know, by an exorcism priest how to do it. And you can take correspondence courses on online. And I forget the name. Lawson is his last name. He's out of Colorado. He's famous. I think it's Robert Lawson. And he's an exorcism priest of the Protestant faith. And I know Robert Martin up in, I think he's either in Dallas or North Dallas, one of the two. He's on Facebook as well, at Robert Martin on Facebook. But he took the correspondence course, and he became a full-fledged reverend in the Protestant faith. I don't know what dialect or what position he's in, but he's a priest. He's a Protestant priest. And he does exorcisms, and so he goes around. He works with Father Reuben on some cases, some extreme cases, and he's been possessed as well. So I helped him out, and eventually the demons got rid of the demons in his house by bringing down God's light. And I do that remotely. I just need the address. That's all. So right now I only have two clients that I actually talk with, and they're doing fine. I got the demons out of both the houses.
So what do you think of Texas?
What I think of Texas? I'd like to leave Texas. It's very hot down here, and it's a lot of Mexicans. I don't mind them. They're fine people. But I used to live with them on the south side of San Antonio, where it was all Mexicans. They're fine people. I had no problem with them. Some of them were my friends. And ultimately, I moved out of the south side, moved to the north side. It's mostly some Mexicans and white people, black people, mixture of all. And the black people are real nice, and the white people are fine, too. It's a nice area. It's quiet, no gunshots. You know, we don't hear anything like that. And, you know, they pick up around here. It's pretty nice. But it's very hot. We have a swimming pool, so I go in it during the summertime. Sometimes in the spring when it's warm enough. I've been in it as early as March. March, when it was really warm. It was an 85-degree day. So I dove in. It was fine. Nice and warm. Tepid. So it wasn't cold. But I want to move back with my children up in the Haverhill area, Massachusetts, up north near the New Hampshire line, so I can be with them. And I'll do that eventually. Myself and my fiance, Bonnie Fiorato, we'll move up there when she retires, and we'll get an apartment, and we'll be like snowbirds. We'll come and go. We'll always have this house, a beautiful house. It's got four bedrooms and two baths, and sufficient for us. We live here, just her and I. We have guests. We just had them last week, her daughter and a friend, and her ex-husband, who is staying with her daughter right now at this time. And he's formerly from Buffalo. Bonnie used to live with him. She was married to him and now divorced, and she's originally from Illinois, Canton, Illinois. In the farmlands, and she lived on a farm, a 50-acre farm, and her uncle has thousands of acres up there. He still does. He still lives up there. He's 86 years old, and so ultimately everything's fine, and I appreciate you having me on the show, and I can't wait to speak to Jason Ophir, and I hope the next time he's on so I can talk with him.
Yeah, I was going to ask you that. It's Oh, yeah. I kind of lost the blank thing. And anyway, yeah, I know last time you were talking about, you know, doing clearings and putting a lot of sea salt in the bath and everything else. And it's like, wow, that's a lot of things happened in the time, is it, you know, where you're doing clearings. And, you know, I myself don't deal with the dark side anymore, like I said, but, you know, it's good to talk about it. Hey, I was going to ask you, what kind of camera do you use? Are you using a Fuji, you said? You're just using a plain Fuji, 14 megapixel?
Yeah, that's what I use. Now, okay. I recommend to people to take an Epsom salt bath. And you can get that readily available, like at you can get it at your grocery store, where the pharmaceuticals are, you know, and you can get it at CVS or Walgreens Drugs, or you can get it online, get a 5-pound bag. And they only cost like $5
for a bag.
Well,
I remember you were saying that you should dump a whole 5-pound bag in the tub.
Right, exactly. And what you do is you take a bath, and it takes all the lactic acid out of your system, out of your pores. You feel like $1 million afterwards. But it also takes away the demon energy that's on you, negative energy. And the best thing to do, and a lot of people have houses that they haven't. What's that, Jerry?
You put the whole 5-pound bag in.
You put the whole 5-pound bag in and swirl it around with your hand until it's dissolved. It's really worth it.
Okay.
It's only $5.
Wow.
Yeah. I've always tried to keep an open mind with everything. But I'm going to be totally honest. I play the devil's advocate with myself all the time. You can ask Michael if you've ever listened to the show, where he knows that I'm one of the most hard, I'm my biggest critic. And when I'm looking at anything and I'm talking about anything, and I'm doing this, especially if I'm you know, telling someone else the stuff, and I want to play the devil's advocate here for a minute, just a second. So we have, for lack of a better word, an omnipotent being that has existed for millennia, mentioned in the Bible before the creation of light. And it's scared of a smelly oil and can be cured with Epsom salt.
Yes.
And 5 pounds of Epsom salt? I mean, but that's what it does to your pipe. It's got to really mess with you. I mean, that is a drastic amount. I mean, normally, I've got arthritis in every joint from my hips down to the tips of my toes, literally. And
right.
I wouldn't use more than maybe 2 cups, much less 5 pounds. I mean, 5 pounds of salt. I can salt a driveway in that. Now, I know there are different salts used in, because I too am ordained. I create my own holy salt, holy water, and those. But it's usually the purity of the salt that is used, not necessarily the stuff used for therapy. Like I said, I don't want to come off as being an ass here. I truly don't. But like I said, I'm playing the devil's advocate. You're talking to, you know, pretend you're talking to the person that is a total skeptic. Everything everyone has said tonight, it's all bullcrap. And I'm saying, you know, this is what they're hearing. So I'm saying, you know, what is the practice of this? This oil that this being that you admittedly can hurt a human that doesn't actually, you know, physically exist. It has no physical body. It has no physical attributes, yet it can physically harm a person. It can move a physical object, but it's scared of a smelly oil.
Yeah. You know, people not only get hurt, you know, physically, but also psychologically.
Yeah.
So, and that's the biggest problem, the psychological damage, because people, if they don't find help, they'll want to commit suicide, and many have over the course of time and many years. Demons have been here. They're even mentioned in the Bible. And Jesus Christ himself and John the Baptist were exorcisms of sorts. They're both in the Bible, and they both have, in the book of Matthew, it states that Jesus Christ was an exorcist of sorts,
yeah.
And so was John the Baptist.
And
but
Saint Benedict.
Damages. Huh?
But what I'm saying, I'm not denying, or I'm not saying we're not addressing the fact of if they do or if they don't exist. What I'm saying is when you're going into battle against them, rubbing an oil on you because of the smell, or taking a 5-pound bath or a 5-pound Epsom salt bath that's going to cause you probably adverse health effects, because it's going to draw 90% of the moisture out of your skin, which gives your body is automatically going to be dehydrated.
No, it really does.
That's where I'm saying
it does the reverse. Actually, your skin is beautiful, fully cleaned. All the pores are open. You feel 100% better, and you can get lavender scent if you want it, and you get plain regular scent.
Yeah.
But
you know, again, like I said, I'm playing the devil's advocate here. You know, people used to swear by the old snake oil salesman that would tell you the tonic could cure everything because it was full of it was 90% alcohol and cocaine.
Now, you didn't care about your toothache because you didn't feel anything. I mentioned Palo Santo oil. Palo Santo oil is very strong. It's not a snake oil, like you had mentioned. It actually works. I would not be telling you this. Essential Palo Santo oil available on Amazon.
That's what I'm asking. How does it work?
You can get half a milliliter.
What is it about? Is it some type of sacred oil?
It's a sacred oil, Palo Santo. St. Paul.
Okay, and
Palo Santo means St. Paul in Spanish.
Yeah. And what I'm saying is exactly
oil.
How is this oil made? I mean, are we talking like
Palo Santo tree?
It's actually derived from wood. I've got some of the wood. You can use the wood. You burn it kind of like you would sage to clear a space. But I've never used the oil. You know, I don't. Well, it's not really my thing. I know about it. That's about as far as I can go with it. You know, I don't know. The biggest problem that I have, and not with you particularly or anything like that, but the biggest problem I have with the exorcism part of it is when you get people that may be compromised and may have histories of physical abuse or sexual abuse or trauma of some kind, and then you get somebody coming in, oh, you need an exorcism. Well, hell, that's a lesson they need to hear. You know, I worry that for someone like that, there may be damage done to that person, you know, because they're not in the best frame of mind anyway. You know, I think you have to be very careful how that was done. You know, I mean, there would have to be doctors involved and tests, you know, like MRIs, CT scans, medical evaluations, and things that would be done well before that. And I've never, I mean, I know that a demonic, in the strict sense of the word, at least as far as what I've always studied, their end result is the possession of a body. Is that true?
Yes, it is true.
Okay.
It's true.
So
yeah,
I thought so.
Very true.
But
yeah, it's very true.
A demonic entity in a building, like in the infestation portion of the process, you know, because you have oppression and you have infestation and you have possession, you know, and possession, of course, being the last. Do you subscribe to the idea of familial possession? That being a possession that is passed on through generations of family?
It can be.
Have you ever encountered?
Yes, it can be.
Have you ever encountered that?
Yes, I have.
Then I have a question about that. I know about that because I saw that mentioned in other literature. How does that contradict with free will? And because when you're born with original sin, but when you're baptized, you're exorcised.
Yeah, you are, in a sense. But you have
to get
them out of your house.
Every baptism has a baptism. At least I'm Catholic. I know a Catholic baptism has an exorcism, a small exorcism right in it. But how can the familial entity be passed on to someone when they didn't give consent? They didn't give up their free will. They didn't say clear.
What happens is when, namely, they possess the male. When the male dies, they possess the female wife. They possess the husband first, and when he dies or goes away, gets divorced, he moves out. They'll go with him. But some will say, and like I said, you have one demon. You think you have one demon. You have a legion of demons, countless.
But doesn't the theory of familial demons seem like it would smack of a determinism, meaning that your entire life would be predetermined if before you're born you have this entity on you because you have no control over not having it, that means your free will is gone.
That's right.
So that's
psychological damage.
Yes, but
that's psychological damage.
Yes, it does, but the free will is mentioned in Scripture that you have free will. So how is that?
So anyways, what happens is they possess the husband first, then the wife. When the wife dies, then they possess the son. And then when that son dies, they go to the daughter. And that's the order that they do it. Any other questions?
No,
after the time now. I'm not sure if Sherry's wanting to wrap it up because
we're getting past our time here. I'll give it back to Sherry.
Yep. Okay. Well, it's a very good conversation. It's good things to bring up and having an open mind and question everything. And I think that's it's not nothing personal. We just we're in the paranormal. There's always somebody having to look at what's going on and seeing if that's a possibility, just like photos. It can be, paradelia, or they could be the real thing. It's for us to do the research and do due diligence to investigate, and that's part of your guys' job. So, but, very good conversation. I'm really happy that Paul came on and Joel and Michael came on to have a little different look in a different angle in what the paranormal investigation and the you know, the dark side of what it's all about. There's so much to learn out there. But thank you, Paul, for coming on. I mean, it's interesting how I'm still learning, even though I don't do that side anymore myself, even remotely. But it's really interesting in the kind of work that all of you guys do. From the bottom of my heart, I really admire each and every one of you and what you guys do. So, but we're going to wrap it up. And next week, I think Jason's going to be coming back, and who knows what we're going to talk about. So, yeah, thank you, Paul, for coming on. It's been a while.
You're welcome. Yes.
So we'll talk to you later, and we're going to, close out. Anybody wants to get a hold of Joel? Joel, you've got your own paranormal stuff going on. What do you? Let's do a little quick wrap up. First of all, how does anybody get a hold of you, Paul, if anybody's interested in the work you do?
They can contact me at PaulCoffey, Paul Coffey on Facebook, and my paranormal page, and you can write me, you can message me on Messenger, Paul Coffey on Messenger, and you can write me on my Central Texas Paranormal page, and that's at CENTRAL Texas, TEXAS, Paranormal, PARANORMAL, Central Texas Paranormal on Facebook. And anybody can contact me, and we'll take it from there.
All right, great, wow. What about you, Joel? How many people are going to get a hold of you and your team?
The easiest way to contact us is through either email at nightstalkerpodcast@gmail.com, also on Facebook at Nightstalker Podcast Network, rather, because it still hasn't changed for me. I don't know why. We're hoping, I know we've been running this joke for a while, but we are hoping to have the actual Night Stalker site up again and going hopefully by the end of March. We have been joking saying it's June of 2025, but we're going to have it a little sooner than that. So, yeah, we're shooting for the end of March. You know how I am with things. Once I get going on, I might get them done pretty quick. But it's just a matter of getting this old hamster turning in that wheel again.
Well, these are for going pretty
Sherry.
Good with you guys. It's awesome. And Michael's been doing some research for many years, and he just really thorough. I like the way Michael does his research. It's very thorough, and he questions everything, and I just really appreciate your input, Michael.
Oh, you're welcome.
So anyway, anybody wants to get a hold of me, I'm Psychic Medium Sherry. They can get a hold of me on Facebook, Psychic Medium Sherry, it's C-H-E-R-I. And they can get a hold of me on my webpage at psychicmediumsherry.weebly.com, or they can go at www.tinyurl.com/Sherry Webb. So my basis of everything I do is in Chinese medicine. I'm a medical medium and a medical Qigong practitioner, but I am also a psychic medium. So anyway, anything else going on, just let us know, and we'll talk to you later. All right. Take care, everybody.
Thank you.
Peace. All right.
Thank you, Sherry.
Okay, take care. Bye-bye.